Six defensive backs out there. See what they do with Mike Williams. Same deal. He goes out wide right. Skandrick covers him. Inside it's Gates. Out wide left, Travis Benjamin in the slot. Tyrell Williams. Rivers in the shotgun. Looks to the right for Mike Williams. Throws to Mike Williams. Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown, Chargers. Mike Williams with his third of the day.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Oh, the Chargers had a very nice 2018 and into January of 2019 until they headed to Foxborough. Nevertheless, the hopes are high for the Chargers in Los Angeles and across football America, despite the football gods' vindictive ways against these Chargers. Eddie Spaghetti's behind the glass. He was also out with me a couple of days ago at Chargers camp in Costa Mesa, California. We caught up with Joey Bosa, one of the great pass rushers in all of pro football, one of the rising stars in pro football. A lot of people are calling for big things out of Mike Williams in year three, and brand new Charger, Jerry Tillery, fresh from South Bend, Indiana. We caught up with all three of those fellows. We'll be kibitzing. It's Chargers Palooza here on the DDFP today. It was a grand time down there, wasn't it, Spaghetti?
We always have a blast whenever we go to Chargers camp. That's a really nice setup there. They gave us three awesome players. We had three great interviews. It was a very nice day. We even saw a DJ, too, down there.
You heard the voice of Matt Money Smith there a second ago, his radio partner, Daniel Jeremiah. We had the occasion to kibitz with him for a little bit, too. What a thrill.
Yeah.
Really down-to-earth guy, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his. They got a great duo there for their radio team.
Now, as I say, the football gods, I don't know why they seem to always have an axe to grind against Phil Rivers and company. We remember probably the biggest one was when Phil Rivers went into that AFC title game, perhaps even better than the Patriots, the way things were shaping up until LaDainian Tomlinson was hurt. Phil Rivers had the bad knee and came up a little short against that team. And ever since then, it seems between bad kicks and ill-timed, field goal misses and more than anything else, the injuries, the plague of injuries that has befallen this team continues. Now, one of our very favorites here, we've gotten to kibitz with him a few times. In fact, we talked to him for, 45 minutes at the Super Bowl on a DDFP. Derwin James, right now, in my opinion, one of the five best defensive players in all the NFL. So it's sad to see him down. Although, I guess if you want to dip your toe into those magic waters and see it as half full rather than half empty for once as a Chargers fan, Derwin James, perhaps he returns just in time to play hero, kind of coming out of the bullpen to help out what already should be a very good defense. On the other side of things, no Melvin Gordon, and it sounds like from the reports that there's not going to be Melvin Gordon through the rest of this month and into the season. We'll see when or if that even resolves itself. Otherwise, we were talking on the last show, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. In this new age, there are trades now. People actually, big name guys get moved. Who knows, by the time you're listening to this, perhaps Jadeveon Clowney has been moved to these Chargers. That doesn't exactly make sense based on their needs, but he could be moved to one of many other places. There are rumors about where Trent Williams may go, whether or not the Patriots wanted them. But you know what? Like I say, this is all Spaghetti. This is about the Chargers, this podcast, not about the news and notes around pro football otherwise. Let's get to it in just a second. Like I say, the preseason, I've been saying it all this season. I say it every August. It's a lie for your eyes. Don't get seduced by what you think is positive or negative. It's not probably going to equal anything that you see come September and beyond. So be wary of that. It's this Civil War reenactment. Be cautious in your enthusiasm or your depression about what you're seeing from your favorite football team. I'm talking to you, Detroit Lions fans, about the depression side. And speaking of another one, now people are jumping off. The cynics are already off the Kyler Murray bandwagon. He and his pals are going to be playing the Vikings this weekend. Spaghetti, one thing that's the Houston Texans and the Dallas Cowboys, wouldn't it be great, whether or not they add two games to the regular season, wouldn't it be nice? I've long called for this. wouldn't it be cool to have rivalry week? Take a page from college football and have regional rivals play each other. Los Angeles every year. Mm-hmm. In the regular season, though. I'm not talking about the preseason jive. I'm talking about do it in a game that counts. And it's just, it happens the same weekend of every year. I don't care when you want to do it. And I'll leave that to Kamish Goodell. But Texans and Cowboys play each other.
Yeah.
The you know, what do we want to call that one? The
Lone Star
Bowl? Lone Star Bowl. Yeah. That's fine with me. Could go Lone Star Bowl. The Chicago Bears and Indianapolis Colts are playing this weekend. You know what that one is? That's the I-65 Bowl, connected by the interstate there in the Midwest. That's an easy 3-hour drive, 2.5 if you put pedal to the metal. The 49ers are playing the Chiefs. That's the Montana Bowl. There's not much of a... I mean, that's kind of like a regional one. It's not Joe is who I'm talking about, spaghetti.
That is where I was going to say it's very confusing to the average fan, the Montana Bowl with the San Francisco.
Someone of your age. Yeah, there was a great quarterback once named Joe Montana in the sport. Seattle and the Chargers, what's their connection? They're playing each other. That would be, they used to be in the AFC West together. Did you know that, Spaghetti? Did you remember that? Are you enough a historian that the Seahawks used to be in the same division with the San Diego Chargers? You know that the Chargers used to be in San Diego
before
we went to visit them. The Steelers in Tennessee are playing each other. That used to be a great rivalry, late 80s. The Oilers, the Houston Oilers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers used to catch up with each other there. Anyway, some preseason games. So it's pretty much the only weekend of preseason that's really relevant. And if you're the savvy fan, if you have a special mojo to make these things so, you want to pray to the football gods this weekend, because this is where your starters, I mean, some of the old school teams, but now like Frank Reich and other guys are jumping in. Like, I'm not playing these guys. Why risk injury in a sport where very large human beings run into each other on purpose? Why would I possibly jeopardize their
health?
Especially
with Andrew Luck. Like, he's just like, I'm going to put all my guys in bubble wrap, and that's the end of that.
That's right. And so for league-wide, let's hope there are no injuries on any football fields at any point, but it's especially vexing when it happens in exhibition games. You know what I always say, Spaghetti? And I'll say it to you now. Here's my argument against preseason games, the necessity for them. I think it's very fun if you don't get to go to regular season games and you're lucky enough to get a preseason ticket, all right, it's still cool to go to the stadium. It's kind of like the JV experience.
Sure.
I remember when I was a little kid, my old man would take me to the preseason games, you know, because they didn't matter much, and I had no idea the difference. I think that it'd be fun to implement a policy where you bring maybe a few lucky ticket holders down on the field for a quarter.
Yeah,
you know,
to watch. I think that's great.
That would be a fun. That would be a fun event. People would be into that. You talk about the ratings through the roof. And my argument against preseason games, and again, the necessity for them. If they were essential, if you had to have them, then why don't college football teams play them?
I mean, that's a very good point. The one thing I will say, though, that I underestimated their importance, and I guess some position coaches do love them, just from the recent Hard Knocks. I mean, even Gruden was going crazy to watch Glennon versus Nathan Peterman. I remember there's a quick cut about the tight ends coach wanted to see one of their tight ends play an extra series and stuff like that. So the super, like you call them, the football hardos, like the guys in the league, actually do care about the position battle. So
the secondary level guys, right. Yeah, it makes it compelling to watch those guys. My concern is just don't ever put your starters out there.
No,
because then it ruins your season
right
before it even begins. Is if your QB, as a totally. For instance, goes down, it's terrible. But anyway, let's get into it with the Chargers. By the way, as always, this DDFP presented by Zaxby's, famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Forget all this jazz. Everybody out there buzzing about this chicken or that chicken this week from fast food places. Go to Zaxby's. That's where it's at. Spaghetti knows it. So do I. And make sure you check out at NFL.com/DDFP all our video content from this week. We do a full video show each and every week, and we're doing it all the way through the season, so make sure you check that out. NFL.com/DDFP is how you track that down, and go back and listen to our earlier podcast from this week. We talked to Handsome Hank Hodgson back in the studio, where he provides, well, how many did he do?
Five.
Seven?
He only did five.
He said five teams that are definitely not going to the playoffs. Eddie Spaghetti went the extra mile.
Did 13.
Did 13. I gave you one. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Spoiler alert. I still have several more to go before it's all said and done. But I will tell you the teams that are definitely not going to go to the playoffs. By the way, I looked it up there, Spaghetti. Last year, and it's good news. Actually, it's good news if I call your team out. Don't get upset, people living in Duval County, Florida right now. It's usually pretty good. I bat about 500 on it. Last year, among the teams I said, definitely not in the postseason. Colts.
Right.
They were in. Chargers, right? I didn't say Chargers.
Our friend Andrew Raby, DDFP Red Flag on Twitter, gave us the link to it. So Euro 2018, no playoffs for you. Chicago Bears, wrong on that one. Giants, correct. Buccaneers,
Bears,
correct. Seahawks.
Three.
Yeah. Cleveland Browns, Indianapolis Colts, and Buffalo Bills.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, and the Browns almost made it too. Mm-hmm. That would be even more embarrassing if I went... if I was on the wrong side of 500, I can't even pick the teams that definitely are not going to the playoffs. Now, easy to laugh in my face, but I defy you to do the same thing. Put your money where you want. Well, not your money. I don't want you to lose any loot on it, but your dignity on the line and see if you can name six teams right now. Eddie Spaghetti, like I say, really went out there. I'm rooting for you, Spaghetti. That'd be awesome if you could get to double digits of teams definitely not going to the playoffs.
Well, all of Hank's teams are on my list, so it's like I just picked a couple extra. I picked, you know... Both the Jets are going to be fine, but they're in a division with the Patriots, so that's gone. And they have to fight for the wild card. The AFC West is a couple teams I think are good. The AFC South, I think, has at least three teams that can make it. So it's just a tough road for them. The Giants, I'm kind of doing that reverse psychology. And then other teams like, you know, the Raiders, the Broncos, you like the Niners this year, but I don't think the Niners have
enough. Jimmy G, so let's say Jimmy G stinks. He's just
he's league average, yeah.
He proves to be just a... mediocre at best,
sure.
QB, they never get off the ground, they miss out. The Seahawks, they don't really have much of a defense right now. It's a little bit of a secret, but they don't really have an exceptional defense this year, which they've been predicated upon over the years, and questions at minimum about who's going to be catching Russell Wilson's passes. It's conceivable that they wouldn't have a great year. Now you're only talking about the Rams. My point being, I can talk myself into right now the Arizona Cardinals being this weird player come late November. We've seen it many times. We've seen RG3 take the Skins out of nowhere. Why couldn't Kyler Murray repeat that feat? When you have a young athlete like that who can run away from pressure, it negates or marginalizes the lousy offensive line. A gaggle of pass catchers, David Johnson, and at minimum on that defense, they have all sorts of veterans all around the field there. So I could see that. That's how in my head I am about trying to figure out who's not going. The Dolphins aren't going to the playoffs, but outside of that, who's not going? It's really hard to divine.
Would say to that, the Cardinals versus Seahawks is that you're really comparing Kyler to Russell Wilson. I'm going to take Russell Wilson. I'm also going to take Pete Carroll, who's a veteran coach, opposed to Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, the Seahawks have enough in the running game with Carson Penny. I know that DK Metcalf just had knee surgery, but Tyler Lockett will get a ton of catches.
I hear you. I'm just telling you.
They both have holes. I agree.
I can talk myself into the Detroit Lions being a player.
No way.
They periodically, in the Matt Stafford era, make little runs at the playoffs and sneak in there. Maybe they could. Maybe they just are a power football team this year.
There's three teams in that division that are way better. I know last pod, too, with Hank, you guys are doing...
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers, this new experiment, they blow out McCarthy. They start new. It's a complete flop. There go the Packers. I'll tell you the legit troubling signs of Matt Nagy. I think they are so consumed by this kicker thing, it's got to be a detriment. It's as though he is convincing, the message he is delivering to the team is, we were just a kicker away last year. If we can just get that right, we're going to win. I feel like it's taking your eye off the ball. I could see things not going well because now there's a full season of what Matt Nagy's tendencies are as a head coach. And then the Viking, Kirk Cousins in the second half of the season was lousy.
I think
the assumption that it's a Kubiak offense that I buy into, that's going to suit him, and Dalvin Cook's going to be the main man in that offense this year, along with those high-end pass catchers and everything else, and a very good defense. But we don't know. What if that team repeats the way it played in 2018? Now the Lions are players in the division.
No, I mean, it makes sense. But I think the Vikings are the most complete roster in that division, but it does heavily rely on what Kirk Cousins does. But I am also very high in the Bears this year. I know you guys are talking about Jimmy G versus Mitch ACT, and I think Mitch Trubisky doesn't get enough love for what he did. Like, the guy missed a couple games. He only played 14 games last year, and he's almost ran for 500 yards. His running ability plus, you know, him throwing for over 3,000 yards, I think he could have a really good season. They drafted David Montgomery, too. I know they shipped out Jordan Howard. David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen's a pretty good duo in the backfield. I like the Bears team a lot.
All right. I mean, I'm going to give my proper picks later on. Are you ready now, though, Spaghetti? I'm going to do one right now.
Really?
Give you a
surprise
team that's not going to the playoffs.
All right, let's see if it's on
wild card. Before we get to Bosa, Mike Williams, Tillery, here is team number two that is definitely not going to the playoffs this year to join, unfortunately, out on the golf course, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm sorry, 2019 Cincinnati Bengals. No playoffs for you. I know Maurice Jones-Drew is on board with what you're trying to do there.
It's your next.
Now, I can talk myself into the Lamar Jackson thing doesn't work. He could very well get hurt playing that kind of style. And then, I don't know, do they fall into the great abyss? I'm not exactly sure about them. Ben Roethlisberger and company can't shoulder things without Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And as Maurice has forecasted, they plummet and they only win six games. Now we're talking about the Browns and Freddie Kitchens. We don't know what they're going to be. Maybe the Bengals are players. You know what? Too late. I've done it now. I don't like the recurring injuries for A.J. Green, their best player, at least on offense. I know Joe Mixon is forecasted to have a big year. Yeah.
I think it's a really safe pick. I don't like the Cincinnati Bengals at all. They're also on my 13-team list.
They might not stink, but getting into the playoffs is the order here. I'm saying they're definitely not.
I think it's going to go real sideways. I think they're in the running for the top pick. I think their O-line's really bad, and if you can't get Mixon going, you're toast.
All right, let's jump into it now with these Chargers. And Spaghetti, we know what the Chiefs did last year, a whisker away from making their first Super Bowl appearance in half a century. Patrick Mahomes back for year three. More speed for him to target in the pass game, and upgraded defense at least. I do think that they're going to be better rushing the passer. And for all that ailed them last year, they did have the ability on occasion to chase down the quarterback once they would get the lead. They were decent at doing that. They replaced D Ford, and I think that they're probably better set now to, like I say, generate a pass rush in 2019. That's one team. The Raiders, you've been watching them on Hard Knocks. By the way, I've been getting hit up on social media. Have I now changed my opinion on Antonio Brown after watching Hard Knocks? Like, no, what would change it for me?
It's enhanced. I mean,
that he seemed lucid and pleasant to everybody. That's kind of the thing, is that you don't know when he's going to flip a switch.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's kind of the knock on him. I think that's exactly what Mayock and Gruden and everybody else was reacting to during that episode. Oh, he's a grill. See, he's back. Everybody, wait, he's not at practice. Why now? Like, that's the point.
Yeah.
If he's unreliable, it doesn't have much value to you.
1 minute he's hugging Richie Incognito. The next day he doesn't show up to practice because his shut helmet wasn't the one he wanted. It was bizarre.
Yeah, this reclamation project for Richie Incognito, and not much Vontaze Burfict so far.
They actually did show one clip of him.
I saw Vontaze
with Antonio Brown, too.
I saw him, but they reminded me, wow, I thought Vontaze would be much more prominent.
Which to me was like, are they trying to push that these guys are good guys? Like, it's a weird thing that they wanted to include that.
I really don't think we've had those guys on.
Yeah,
we've had the gambler Ken Rogers and Keith Cosgrove and everybody on here talking about it. I don't think they have any agenda to do PR or propaganda for anything.
I mean, I don't really think so either, but to me, it's just like, if you're Antonio Brown, how do you not hate Vontaze Burfict? Like, I thought he'd be his number one most hated guy in the entire league.
Well, but it's the victim thing that he's doing now. He's like, oh, it's like I'm the enemy in the state. He's now blocked me on Twitter. You know, how dare I?
Mean, oh, really? You didn't bring that up?
No. Yeah.
I did not know that.
My friend, A.B., friend is maybe too far, but I've always gotten on famously with AB.
1 year ago, we were at the Madden.
I know. And he was like, he's delightful
he was awesome,
yeah, you know. So I didn't necessarily knock him. I just said blaming Roethlisberger for the fallout is missing the target. But anyway, so AB, I mean, you can see he's a charming fella,
mm-hmm.
but but the inconsistency is enough. And Mark Cabali, our pal who's been on here before over at The Athletic, has a great piece up about why the absence of Antonio Brown probably will lead Roethlisberger to fewer interceptions. I know that's not the common wisdom, but that is in fact. I keep saying it. Go back and watch 2018 tape. Watch the throws that Roethlisberger makes, and you say, where was he looking there? Mm-hmm. Who is the target on that? An outsized percentage of it is Antonio Brown, and it's because of inconsistent route running. Anyway, so there you have the Raiders, and, you know, the defense might be all right, but are they going to the playoffs? I don't know. And then the Broncos should have a good defense, and is the offensive line good enough to, you know, they have two nice backs now. Yeah. So I guess it's the QB that is their undoing.
It's just
right?
It's just they're going to give it to Flacco, or they're going to try to put Drew Lock in there by week, you know, 5 or 6.
I don't know. I don't know that I can close the book on a Fangio, to turn in that defense back around and making it dominant. They still have some nice pieces.
They do.
There. Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. That's a good place to start in the 21st century brand of football that requires a pass rush more than anything else on defense. No matter what Mina Kimes might argue against. When we got to get her booked before we kick things off. All right, let's start kibitzing now with a guy who I found to be lovely. You know, when I was walking up for this interview, he beat me to the microphone. And he said, yeah, come on, Dave, let's go. And I knew we were in good shape because he was sassing me before we had even begun. Here he is from Ohio State. I'm sorry, the Ohio State. It's Joey Bosa.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-don't-don't, Dave.
All right, here we go. Look who it is, everybody. One of the great sack masters in pro football. That's right. That's what you are.
Yeah.
It's Joey Bosa. What's happening, fella?
Not much. Just getting tape off my hands still, apparently. But just getting ready for these Saints coming tomorrow.
Yeah, let's not worry about
day today.
You know what I always say? I always say that preseason is a lie. I don't think there's so much. My goal is, by the way, at this point in your career, aren't you now tenured enough that you could just be like, you know what, Coach? My groin. You know, I don't know if it's right. Might not be right till early September.
Well, they're coming into practice these next 2 days. Is what I was talking about. So, those times are important to get in with them. I think preseason's pretty important. Maybe not the game. I mean, of course, what are you going to just show up and play a regular season game?
I'm saying that's what I would do.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Not going to look good.
So none of those shenanigans like. Come on, do I really need to be here to training camp? I have to work out and everything? It's all hot out here and everything?
Yeah, no. I mean, I hope people aren't complaining like that. They're making millions of dollars to play football. So
you put it into perspective for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Who Joey Bosa, like I say, you're one of the great sack artists in pro football. Who's the most annoying QB to try the sack?
Annoying how, like, he's annoying off the field and I know it, or he's annoying to bring down?
Well, you know what? I was thinking about, like, on the field, is he hard to wrangle? But if you have some insights on who's an annoying individual, I'd
have,
like to hear that.
I don't
too.
Have the second one, but I mean, Cam Newton damn near knocked me unconscious when I tried to take him down, so that was a pretty tough one, I'd have to say.
So that's worse for you.
Yeah, probably.
He is. I mean, he is for real. You're a giant human being,
huge.
And he's bigger than you, probably.
Yeah. No, he's. I don't know about bigger, but he's huge. He's definitely huge. It's like trying to tackle another DN. That's for sure. Huh.
And do you lift?
Do I lift?
Yeah. Weights.
Yeah. No, I just eat junk food and lay around all day, and then I come out for camp.
Oh, well. Uh-huh. That's an interesting method.
Uh-huh.
Let's go, Bosa. Last year, I talked to your friend Melvin Ingram, and I asked him who was going to have more sacks in 2018.
He won, obviously.
Yeah, let's talk about it for 2019. Who wins the sack race?
I mean, I'm going to have to say myself, but I hope it's a close race.
Hmm.
Yeah, that should be a fun race, though.
It is. It really is shaping up to be. Perhaps the best defense in football.
Yeah.
Let's go glass half full, glass half empty. Why is 2019 the Chargers year?
I mean, if you just look at the past few years, I think it's trending that way. I mean, 5-11, 9-7, 12-14. If if that's saying anything, it's saying that we're moving in the right direction. We have a lot of the same pieces, and we're just adding more as we go. We're getting more comfortable in our system, so I think it's we have a great opportunity this year.
What? Let's go glass half empty. If this isn't the Chargers' year, why did it get sideways?
I mean, that's a hard thing to say until it happens. I think the only team that's going to beat us this year is ourselves. So we have a great opportunity, all the pieces to be great and win a Super Bowl. We just have to take it upon ourselves to do it.
I always think it's a kind of a funny thing. I remember when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, and everybody on the team was like, what does this mean to help Ray Lewis win another one? And when the Steelers won with Jerome Bettis, like, Jerome Bettis won. Like, yeah, you're on the team too. But Phil Rivers, he is the point of much discussion about, like, Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff. And people always say, well, he doesn't have the Super Bowl on his resume. How do you guys talk about that at all? Like, yeah, we should do this for Phil.
I'm going to be honest, I don't think that's a conversation that's had a lot around. I think it's just a group effort. Like, we all want to win. We all want to be a part of it together. I think once it's all said and done, I think that would be something that would be talked about. Like, yeah, we did it for the older guys, did it for the vets that, you know, haven't had the opportunity to play in a Super Bowl yet. So, yeah, I think we're all just playing for each other. It's not one for a particular person like that.
Last question. I don't know if you saw the Sports Illustrated just did a whole bunch of college football stuff. Mm-hmm. Best helmet went to Notre Dame. I always liked Bucky's helmet.
Bucky's?
You got those little I always liked that you had that little leaf thing on
there. Troll.
The what? That's a troll?
Yeah.
If you want to troll me back,
where'd
I went to
go?
Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So
no.
You can make fun of me.
Hey, Notre Dame helmets aren't bad. They don't play up to their helmet ranking though.
Oh.
So.
Oh,
I think Jerry's about to come over here. You can tell him I said it. He won't do anything about it.
Bosa, you're delightful. You know,
I
find you. You have a low key, delightful way about
Thank you.
Did you tell did you tell your brother anything that's like, hey, here's the big difference
between the league?
Yeah.
I mean, I tell when people ask me that question, I really haven't had to tell him much, like. If I need to tell him something, it's really important, and he's like a sponge, and he just holds on to all the information. He's a great listener, and he watches and learns everything. So, I mean, he was kicking ass out there already.
I hope he does well, but I mean, I assume I speak for you when I say you don't want him to be as good as you. When it's all said and done, like 25 years from now, you don't want it to be like, hey, you had a great career, Nick. Not
was,
as good as me, right?
I think it might be a little late for that. He's already on his way.
Joey Bosa, you're well on your way to superstardom, and in fact, you've already reached it. A pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks.
Good luck
for having
2019.
Me.
Stay healthy.
Dave Damashek.
Yeah, swell fella, right, Spaghetti?
He was awesome. Like, I know I said during the video show, he's one of my new favorite players in the league. I hope that he's, is good enough that he can overcome the loss of Derwin James and potentially Melvin Gordon, but he's a monster of a man. Like, he was cool with us. Like, he's
and then on the other side, I talk about another delightful fella, Melvin Ingram.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys are people always do tandem. I saw on social media today, like, the best tandem quarterback receiver. What about tandem pass rushers? I mean, Melvin Gordon and Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa together is probably
They'd be up there with Chubb. I think Chubb blows Miller. Up in his second season. He had a very quiet, good rookie season. All right, now let's go to a guy who had a nice season, scored a lot of touchdowns at least. Keenan Allen's counterpart, Keenan Allen, may not be out there, it seems like, early in the season, but no matter to Phil Rivers. As long as he has this this giant, really kind of almost cuts the figure of a tight end. Almost, he's so big. I talk about delightful. Here he is, everybody, Mike Williams.
That's Dave Damashek.
Hey, Mike, I'm thinking about, before we get into it, I'm considering drafting you in fantasy. And I don't know if you've heard, there are a lot of people who are saying, big year coming for Mike Williams. Talk me into it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. it's going to be a lot of big plays being made out there this year. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I feel like we're going to have a pretty good year. You know, we just got to take it one game at a time and everything happens.
I hope the team does well. I know the team's going to do well. I'm not asking about how Keenan Allen or Hunter Henry. I'm talking about if I have Mike Williams on my fantasy team. That's going to yield big numbers for me?
For sure. I feel like you pick me, you're going to have a big year. For sure.
Hey, can I ask you something? Now that I'm looking at it here, look at these pants. I like the powder blue. Uh-huh. And I like the white hats, although they still should put the black numbers back on them. You ever seen
how
they?
I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah. You know how Alabama has the white numbers on their hats?
We had the black.
The Chargers used to wear black numbers on the side. Wouldn't that be cool to
add?
We
need to do that one game, little throwback uniforms.
Here's the thing. Can you talk to the uniform makers here? Like, this is the stripe. You don't need the white stripe around that. The lightning bolt is the stripe,
you know? I like that, though.
You
I
do?
Feel like
why?
I feel like it brings it out a lot more. I feel like the white brings out the gold in the on the side. So,
all right. I guess we're going to have to.
I'm with that.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Hey, I was just talking to Bosa about this. Now I'm going to ask you about this. Tell me, glass half full, why is this the Chargers' year to finally get over the hump, go to the Super Bowl and win it?
I feel like we know what it takes now. I feel like we got to the playoffs. You know, we played a hard-fought game versus the Patriots, and we just couldn't get over the hump. And I feel like coming into this year, you know, we know the effort and the type of focus and everything we need to put into it. So I feel like we would come out a lot more focused, a lot more detailed this season. And, you know, they take every game one game at a time. You know, it's a one-game season. And just you take care of that one game that you have to play that Sunday and everything happened.
All right, let's go glass half empty then. If it doesn't happen for the Chargers, why did it not happen? If you and me are talking, then
I don't want to think like that though. I don't want to think like that. I feel like we capable of winning every game that's scheduled now on our schedule. So I feel like we're capable of doing that. So
I like that.
I don't want to say that we're gonna come out and have a 4-win, 12-loss season. I feel like we can come out and win every game.
Next time, you know what? If anybody, including me, asks you a question like that again, take a swing at them. That makes the statement. Like, I'm not here to talk negative,
For sure, for sure.
That'll go viral. Everybody will love that. Like, Mike Williams is serious about winning this year.
Yeah.
Speaking of winning, Clemson has been doing a lot of that. Who's the best Clemson wide receiver? I mean, I'm sorry. Who's the best Clemson quarterback of all time? Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence?
I play with Deshaun, so I know what Deshaun capable of doing.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't look Deshaun in his eyes at the Alabama game when we were down, had to go down the last drive, you know, and finish it. And I know the type of, you know, quarterback he is. I never played with Trevor, but he's a great quarterback also. Won a national championship your first year there. So, I mean, they both great quarterbacks, but I only can speak on who I played with. So I feel like Deshaun. He's the top of my board right now.
I like your loyalty.
Yeah, for sure.
Wide receiver, Chargers wide receiver over the summer, Keenan Allen reviewed. Well, Le'Veon Bell asked him to review his hip hop track, and he gave it an unfavorable review.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's not here, but Mike Williams is. Have you heard Le'Veon Bell's latest track?
No, I haven't. I don't really be listening to him like that.
No, you don't?
No, I don't.
Not interested to find out?
Nah. I stick to what I know.
What's your favorite kind of music?
I listen to Meek Mill, Young Thug, Gunna, Lil Baby, stuff like that.
Is your hair heavy?
It's not.
It's not?
It look heavy, though. I have kind of thick braids right now.
I would think especially now, summertime, like it would be like an unnecessary burden to be dragging around, you know?
I had them for like 5 years, so I'm used to it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you feel like, you know, it's one of those things that in the media catches on, like, you know, John Elway has to get a Super Bowl, and the Broncos are playing for John Elway to get over the hump kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And you saw that with Ray Lewis and so on. Do you guys talk about that at all? Do you feel like, let's get Phil. Like, Phil needs one. You know, he deserves it. Or is it like, yeah, I need one too?
I feel like every year I just say the time is now. I feel like if you didn't do it last year, why not this year? So I feel like you got to have that type of mentality. Why not us? Why we can't go out there and win the Super Bowl? You got to dream about it. Practice for it, and it happened.
Well, yeah, I mean that, and the way you were playing towards the end of last year, this feels to me, and I'm not just saying this. Do you look around and you see the Chiefs getting all the noise in 2018? Then you go in, and obviously you catch the game winner out there. It feels to me Like this conference, with all due respect to you and the high-powered Chargers, it's all about defense this year. And that have you looked around the conference?
Yeah.
Loaded it is defensively?
Yeah, it's loaded. But, I mean, I feel like it's going to make the competition a lot better. I like competition, and I like going out there every day and playing against the best people in this league. So I feel like if the competition is in this conference, then we just got to go out there and prove ourselves that we're capable of making plays in this league.
Who's the best? Who's the toughest one to go up against?
I feel like we have the best players on our team.
No, you. I mean, for you. When you line up against somebody, you know who's saying? Like, oh, man, this guy's rough.
It wasn't really nobody last year.
Nobody?
I feel like we play some decent players, though. But I feel like we just go out there and play our game. I mean, you do what you do.
Is, you know, a lot of buzz. I know this is something that receivers kind of are interested in. Last year was all about Diggs and Thielen. Is 2019 the year everybody's talking about Allen and Williams?
For sure. I feel like coming into this year, we're going – this camp right here, we're making a lot of plays. So I feel like going into the season, it's going to continue to do that. And I feel like the numbers are going to speak for itself.
Last thing, are you looking forward to one last season in the soccer stadium before you move into the big fancy new digs? If nothing else, it's got to be a weird environment coming out of Death Valley and stuff and coming out to a place where it's like they're half the number of people here as there were at my college games and half the people are cheering for the other team.
Yeah, it was a little weird, you know, coming from a 80,000 full stadium every Saturday, basically, everybody screaming for you to go into the soccer stadium where, you know, a lot of people against you. But I feel like the run that we put on last year, I feel like it's going to be pretty lit this year. I feel like we're going to have a lot of fans in there, and it's going to be awesome. So I'm excited for this season. You know, it's our last season playing in that stadium, and I feel like it's going to be a good one.
Who do you think you're going to play in the Super Bowl this year? That was a good question. Why? Because I'm following your lead. I'm doing what you said. I didn't want to think negatively.
Whoever make it on that side, it don't even matter.
Well, pick who's the best matchup for you. Like, who's like, oh, we're going to whip them. They're not even going to.
It'll be good for the
Rams?
The L.A. matchup.
The Rams would be good.
That would be great for the city. All right. L.A. versus L.A.
All right, you heard it here. Mike Williams.
That'd be
just
decent.
Guaranteed it.
For sure. No. we focus on week one right now.
All right. I like that. I like you too, Mike Williams.
For sure.
Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right.
Stay healthy.
I will.
You're listening to David Damashek.
You buying him in fantasy this year, Spaghetti?
I really like Mike Williams a lot this year. He you said it before we tossed the interview that he's almost like a tight end size. Like, people always say like Julio Jones, like that's the prototypical receiver. I saw him, I'm not sure if you were standing near me at the Chargers practice that day, that Phil Rivers threw the ball to him in the back pylon, and unfortunately it was on Derwin James before obviously he was hurt. And Mike Williams went up there and grabbed that ball and like just twisted, got both feet in, like caught the thing, and then he came over to us to do the interview, and he's like got to be 6'4", 6'5", like north of 230, just a big upper body for a receiver. He's like a beast of a man. I can't see him just not being awesome, like one of the best jump ball guys, one of the best.
Yeah, and Phil always has liked those guys.
Oh, yeah.
There was a gaggle at the height of their powers in the mid aughts when they were, you know, going 13-3 and all that. It was Antonio Gates was the number one target, and then it was a bunch of really long receivers, 6'5". Vincent Jackson was the most talented of them. But that was what was out there with him. I think Mike Williams and Hunter Henry, if Keenan Williams can also get back. Mm-hmm. They're really, even without Melvin Gordon, all due respect, I really think that offense should be gangbusters. And also they've finally seems at least that they've addressed the interior of that offensive line. The defensive front, if they can stuff the run a little bit better, we talk about Bosa and Ingram, and then Denzel Perryman's back there too, who's a hammer in the run game, and a guy who can upgrade it even further all the way from Notre Dame. What did you tell me after we finished with him? I wish we would have brought this up. You said Tillery speaks five languages?
He speaks a bunch of languages. I think
do people who speak five languages, are they actually – that's one of those things. Is that – does anybody ever challenge him on that?
Like, how fluent is he in those
– like, can he have a conversation? Like, could I go around claiming –
That I speak five languages. Who would ever catch me on that?
It may not be. I wouldn't quote me on five, but he definitely speaks more than just English. He speaks a handful of languages because I just know from just following Notre Dame that his GPA was like super high, and he majored in really tough and tough stuff at school. And he, I think, did a bunch of trips, like not during football season, to go study and whatever. And he's just like, he's one of those people that is a smart person. Like, football is almost like secondary. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think he's awesome at football, but he's a really well-rounded guy.
Imagine if he ends up being dynamite. What if he ends up being really good?
He's a mean streak. 2019. Really good.
He does. You get the sense with him. Those guys that are soft spoken, like, yeah, you can feel like in the heat of a tough game in the second half that he can really start to get nasty. Mm-hmm. You get that vibe off of him watching him at Notre Dame. And I also liked his. Well, you'll hear his answer on some of those college football games, or at least one of them. What his response was is telling about his frame of mind when it comes to football games. All right, let's hear from him instead of hearing from me. Although you will hear my voice because I am talking to him. So apologies in advance for that. Here he is, everybody, Jerry Tillery.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
Well, well, well. A loaded defense is now even more loaded thanks to the presence of first-round pick from Notre Dame, Jerry Tillery. What's happening, man? How are you?
Good. I'm really good. Really
yeah, good. Are you? Oh, so are you finding, I mean, it must feel a little anticlimactic to go from South Bend, Indiana to Los Angeles, California. Pretty much the same place?
Oh, identical.
Yeah?
No, this is obviously a lot different from where I've come from at Notre Dame. But I love it here. You know, I loved it there. I'm someone who can adapt easily. So I think it's been a really good transition in coming here. So.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, not bad with all the stuff it's that people nice, say actually. About LA. Yeah. Yeah, not bad once you get out here, right?
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Speaking of pretty good, I think the Chargers stand to be a dominant defense mm-hmm. potentially this year. I don't know your ability to assess it, given that you've been around for a few weeks, but what do you make of joining a unit that already had Ingram and Bosa and Derwin James and so on? Such a loaded group, eh?
Yes, we are a very talented defense, and I think when we got to have a play, we're one that can come up with it. And, you know, obviously coming into a D-line room that's already really, really, really good to hopefully try to make it a little bit better. I think that's my goal.
Well, you're going to be primarily, I assume, on the inside of that defense. Can I give
Don't
you
assume.
Well, okay, well, you'll move around. Either way, my tip to you is, and I tell this to a lot of football guys, lift weights because mm-hmm. that makes you strong.
Thank you.
So you should consider doing that.
Thank you.
Okay. You can use it. You don't have to do it, but it's a good idea. What do you think about the better helmet that you've worn, the Chargers helmet, that nice white one with the bolts on it, mm-hmm. or the gold hat of Notre Dame?
So, I mean, they're actually identical on the inside, so the feel is the same. But I think, you know, whichever helmet I have on, I'm trying to shine in it.
That's interesting. It's pretty deep. They're the same on the inside. I like that. So you don't anticipate that there are any, like, this year down the line, any holdouts related to, like, not getting the right helmet?
Yeah, probably no holdouts for
not
me
gonna do that.
Behind the helmet. But I respect those who feel that strongly about the helmet that they wear.
You're not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying.
Come on. No way. No way.
You've gotten to see them both up close and personal now. Who's going to have more sacks this year, Bosa or Ingram?
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, you ask Joey, he'll tell you him.
He did. But Melvin, that's what Joey told me.
Ask Melvin. I'm sure he'll tell you it's going to be him.
All right. Why don't you play tiebreaker?
I think they'll both have a great year, and you know I'm looking to be a contributing factor.
Look at Tillery the diplomat. I love it. I
Come
like
on.
It. Who
They're
are you? who are the Chargers going to play in the Super Bowl?
Again, that's one I think you know whoever we are playing, I like our chances. I like our chances to win that game. So once we make it there, we'll have another conversation in Miami.
Glass half full. Why is this the year of the Chargers?
I think, you know, we're to whatever year, you know, we're able to put enough plays together and win enough games to get there. I think if, you know, we got the, I think we have the right players in place And we're going to win a lot of games this year.
Glass half empty. Why don't the Chargers win it all this year? I like that. Just silence. Just a disagreeable look in my direction. That's the extent of it, huh?
That's it.
I like that very much. Who are you looking forward to hopefully sacking this year? If I told you you're going to have one sack this year, who would you ideally?
Well, hopefully,
get
I'll have more than one. But,
I know. I'm just saying.
Our first game is against the Colts. So, whoever's that quarterback down there, I hope it's him.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Do you have any sort of a dance or anything planned?
We'll see. It'll come to me.
What number have you gone with? Forgive me for asking.
99. It was my number from college.
99. Yeah. You can't do any better as a defensive lineman, right?
I think so.
I mean, that's pretty good. Some guys like could go like 60. Like, bleh,
yeah. Yeah, you know? I know. 99's
not
a lot
even
better,
trying,
I think.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. 99's way better.
It's crazy to think that Ingram and Bosa, neither one of them claimed that even, huh?
Joey actually had that number last year. So
I thought he did. When you said, I thought, like, didn't Bosa, and I saw him in 97, and I thought he must have swapped that out. That's catching on around the Chargers.
Yeah, good timing, you know, once, you know, I come in. Joey decides to change numbers. So
I talked to Mike Williams about the Clemson days a little bit, and that brings to mind for me that last year some Clemson guys said that the tougher challenge they had than the Tide in the title game was, in fact, Notre Dame. How does that make you feel?
I mean, we didn't win the game, so it doesn't really change my feelings toward, you know, what happened. But I think we were, you know, a better team than, you know, a lot of the teams that they played. So
would you be sad if Notre Dame won the national championship this year, the first year you weren't
there?
Are
you kidding me? No way.
You'd like that?
That would be amazing.
Well, because I'm vain. I wouldn't like that. I'd be like, hey, have a good season, but just don't be as good as you were when I was there.
No way.
No, you'd like that.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see Notre Dame win the national championship.
Well, maybe, like as long as you are in the midst of a Super Bowl run, then it'd be cool.
Of course.
Oh, you kids and your national title. I'm chasing a Lombardi over here.
That's
right.
That's the goal here.
You, like I say, the defense is loaded, not just with talent, but with characters. Casey Hayward, Derwin James, Melvin Gordon, Bosa. It's a great group of guys, easy to root for. I don't really have a question here other than that I find them all delightful.
But as do I.
Is Phil, who would you say is, if we take Phil out of the conversation, because anybody who has a high-end quarterback, he's the linchpin to things to some degree, who would you consider, from what you've seen, the Jenga piece of these Chargers, which is to say, if he were gone, then the whole thing might implode?
I mean, I think that it's more about culture that we've built here. You know, it's no single player that makes it all run. You know, it's you know, whoever's in there. You know, if you're playing for the Chargers, you know you gotta make a play. You gotta come up with one for us. So I think that it's more you know, whoever's in there is gonna play well, and you know, obviously we got a lot of playmakers who can do that. So it's whoever's in there, I think, is the person who's going to make the play for us.
Well, Gus Bradley, Bradley's speaking of characters and also a guy who, with the defense, produces results. Last thing, while the other side of the country is buzzing about which 26 is going to be better in New York running the ball, which 99 on the defensive front in Los Angeles is going to be the superior player by the end of 2019?
We'll see. I like my chances.
Oh, how about that, Aaron Donald? How do you like that? Maybe you guys will get together in Miami. That's who you'll play at the Super Bowl.
Could be.
All right. Well, listen, I wish you all the best, good health.
Thanks, Dave.
A long playoff run. Perhaps we'll catch up all the way on the other side.
In Miami.
In Miami, and then you, me, and 99, the other one, the other 99. We got to come up with something about that. Do you have a good defensive nickname yet, by the way?
Not yet.
For the unit? I'll work on it. I'll get back to you.
Perfect.
Okay?
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks,
appreciate
pal.
It.
Best wishes to you.
You too.
You
listen to Dave
Damashek. I liked his moxie, too, on the 99 question there, Spaghetti.
Yeah. One thinks he could play them in the Super Bowl. I mean, he is a guy that won't say it, but is definitely rooting for himself and thinks he is, like, the one of the better
ones. Well, who isn't rooting for themselves?
I think there's some guys who'd be like, oh, no, he's, you know, Aaron Donald's a great player. Like, you know,
oh,
I
see.
To fill his shoes. I think Jerry Taylor's like, no, I'm gonna do that. Like I said, Mean Streak, like he has gotten into some trouble on the field at Notre Dame before, like with suspensions and stepping up. Like he has that kind of, I don't want to say Ndamukong Suh type vibe going on. He's a very, very nice guy. But I think he definitely is going to make a name for himself.
Not until the last 20 years of our society has that become a problem for people, again, very large human beings whose job it is to run into other large human beings on purpose. Has it become an issue that they have a nasty streak? I'll refer you to Deacon Jones and Mean Joe Green and point to them as their mean streaks not really holding them back from football success. It seems like things turned out all right for those guys.
I think so. Yeah.
And perhaps it will for Jerry Tillery. Anyway, good times with the Chargers. Thanks to everybody there in Costa Mesa for making it so. We had a wonderful time, as always. We look forward to getting back out there or to Carson to see, if not before, we're going to go down there to see the Steelers and Chargers game in early October. It's getting close, Spaghetti. By the next time I speak with you, we will we'll be that much closer to kickoff. We'll be, what, a handful of days, maybe even in single digits by the time the next time we speak. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. We'll talk to you next week. It's been a thin slice of heaven.